Greetings, super sleuths, noir fans, and basic white women who get that wet-ass pussy from hearing stories of people getting killed. Welcome to The Arts of Murder, a podcast about living and dying for your craft. My name is Scoop, Scoop Johnson, reporter for The Times. Which Times, you ask? Don't worry about it. It's The Times. And sometimes, the times, they are changing. Enough lollygagging. Let's get to the reason you're here. For a delicious murder. And boy, does Scoop have a good one for you. I'm gonna let you into the world of a private detective, Jack Handjob, disgraced NYPD cop, now tasked with solving the murder of a young Broadway actor. But enough from Scoop, let's get to the handjob.
I want to tell you a story. It's gonna be one of intrigue, murder, deception, money, bright lights, the Big Apple, dance belts, Rodgers and Hammerstein, unresolved attention issues, and everything in between. My name is Jack. Jack Handjob. Maybe you knew that. Maybe you're just learning it. Until a few months ago, I knew nothing of Broadway. I had seen the lights, heard the low hum of music pouring from the theaters, smelled the pee on the streets. Still New York, after all. But I really knew nothing past that. I didn't want to. But I was forced. Pushed. Damn it. I learned so much. And now I can't stop humming some of those songs. I needed a crash course, and it had to start quick. It was a murder. That damn murder. It was the second most bizarre thing I'd ever seen on the job. A dead actor. Killed on stage, in his costume, by a prop, and I only had a week to get to the bottom of it. What a cliche. Who in the hell thinks of this stuff? How did I get here? Gumshoeing for a private party? I wasn't always this guy, no. I was a beat cop, a damn good one. Loved throughout my precinct, had the respect of the community, never any trouble. Helped solve cases, won accolades. I was flying high above my station. Till that one night. The one night that will haunt me forever. You see, I'd gotten a call about a disturbance at the Central Park Zoo. Nothing too crazy. Probably just some teenagers messing around the gate. I went alone to check it out. I'd been around there plenty of times. I knew what to look for. I was almost done with my search. Checking behind a few corners in the Serengeti exhibit when I heard it. In that one moment, the unmistakable click of the cylinder of a snub-nosed .38 snapping into place. I was confused. I drew my weapon. It was dark. I turned and fired my 9mm. I shot Carmen the Zebra. I shot him right in the face. The myriad of colors splattered across his fur made him look like the Fruit Stripes mascot. And just like the flavor of the gum, before anyone knew what had happened, it was over. Well, that was all it took. You would have thought I shot Mr. Rogers, Bill Nye, the Pope, and that cat that always looks grumpy in the middle of Times Square. The backlash was swift and unbelievable. I was fired immediately. Statements were made by the mayor and head zookeeper of New York, who, for some reason, happened to be the same person. I was socially, emotionally, spiritually and philosophically shunned by the city. I lost everything because of it. My job, my woman. The woman took the cat. The cat took a dump on the way out. I stepped in it. So I lost that pair of socks. I love those socks. That's when the drinking started. After the socks. I had never been much of a drinker, but if you're gonna pick up some bad habits, a cat turd smeared in a sock is as good a time as any to start. But how do you go out in public when you're the most hated person in New York City? A disguise. I put on a hat and glasses, fake eyebrows, faked a limp, and spoke with a moderately convincing Irish accent in order to not be noticed. I made my way to the bar on the street level of my building. I knew it would be good there. Never been in there before. They had no reason to suspect a thing. I saddled up and ordered a drink I'd only heard about in movies. A blue motorcycle. Sounded delicious. Vodka, tequila, rum, gin, blue curacao, sour mix, and lemon-lime soda. Garnished with a tiny plastic sword that has three juicy maraschino cherries on it, by God, you'll be in heaven. The first went down smooth, second even more so. By the time I knew what had happened, I had the Sons of Anarchy trying to ride out the way they rode in. I stumbled out the door, around the corner, and into the alley and started puking. Violently. The trash bags looked like a Jackson Pollock painting, but damn if it didn't numb the pain for a bit. That's when I knew I was hooked. After the vomit. I spent a week at the bottom of a tall, ornate glass. A bender that Jimmy Buffett would have been proud of. I would get so drunk, I would forget I was faking an accent and scare myself that someone had snuck up behind me and started talking. It was a weird time. A dark time. I eventually pulled myself away and started to dust off the pieces of my life. I needed to get my mind working again. I needed a new job. That's where the private eye idea came in. Seemed like a pretty logical step from disgraced cop to private eye. I called it my private idea. I could solve cases, get paid for it, and not have to deal with the bureaucratic fallout of shooting rare Serengeti animals. So I set it up. My first idea for the company name? Private Handjob. I changed it 2 days later. Second idea? Mystery Inc. But I got a cease and desist letter from four uppity kids and a dog. Finally, I settled on Handy Private Eye. Worked moderately better. Handing out flyers in Midtown, still in disguise, of course. Well, that helped drive up business. I only had to explain to a few people that I wasn't also going to fix their sink. For the first little bit, I was mostly called in for missing persons. People the police didn't think were important enough to really investigate. Most of the time, I found them with little trouble. Spouses that tried to disappear but were too stupid to cover their tracks. Kids that just wanted some attention. Stuff like that. Things could get pretty bizarre, though. There was the leather fetish couple. Husband went missing. Wife was distraught. Kept swinging a riding crop around while I tried to talk to her. Found him under the bed, Vaseline into a gimp suit with a ball gag in his mouth so he couldn't move or make a sound. He was there for 2 days. I didn't ask too many questions. I didn't want to know. That one still haunts me. I was happy. Getting over the cat turd in the socks. Still sometimes overindulging in the sweet blue motos. I found clove cigarettes. That was a weird week. 6 months goes by. I thought my life had returned to somewhat of an even keel. Then the phone call. It was a Friday afternoon, 10 a.m. Rang 3 times before I picked it up. I kicked the doorframe trying to get to the phone. That hurt a lot. It was the owner of the Parker Stone Theater, Broadway. I didn't believe it at first. Okay, silly man, who is this really? I said. But he reassured me. Timothy Capdahl, owner/manager. A quick Google search on my end confirmed it. I didn't know what to think. Well, what can I help you with? I said. I listened. My jaw hit the floor. A murder. Yes! Okay, I can handle this. It was hard to hide my excitement. I didn't wonder why he called me. A murder? A murder. Murder! 30 minutes later, in a one-block Uber, I was standing outside the Parker Stone Theater staring up at the marquee. Oh God, more nostalgia. They're doing a revival of Grease, the John Travolta film from the 70s. Good Lord, when are people with money going to stop trying to sell the past back to us? Finishing my clove cigarette, I took a look around at the other theaters. Hamilton, Dear Evan Hansen, A Requiem for a Dream, Tony Hawk, the musical. I realized in that intimate moment I knew nothing of this world. Stepping on my clove, I took one last solemn look around, opened the door to the theater and stepped inside. Like a freight train of carcinogens, I was immediately assaulted with the smell of car exhaust. Being a New Yorker, I'm very familiar with that smell, but to have it be this strong indoors was something I was not ready for. The ornate lobby had been decorated to look like a 1950s soda shop. Pastel pinks and blues, old neon signs, vaguely racist undertones. Probably just like it was back then. When I tell you this theater is or was architecturally beautiful, I feel like I'm understating it. I don't know much about Broadway, but this was pretty amazing. The overstuffed velvet seats accented the main theater lighting, a gorgeous chandelier suspended above the crowd, plenty of balcony seating, ornate crown molding. Gorgeous. And because of the car exhaust, it all smells like shit. As nice as the audience space is, on stage, this set was wild, intimate. I think they called it minimalist? I don't know. Three levels of rising platforms, large frescoes of stars from the 50s, Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, Leslie Nielsen, and Forbidden Planet, more pastel pinks and blues everywhere. And currently, the centerpiece of it all, the car. That damn car. A 1948 Ford Deluxe convertible. The same car they used in the movie? Yeah, I don't know either. I thought this was the play. Is there a difference? Do people have no real culture anymore? The car was interesting. But the piece de resistance? The body. Ben Montez, the victim. Rising Broadway star. Crushed to death against the wall. In full costume. The only thing out of period was his Beats by Dre. Relaxed in a pool of his own blood. I say relaxed, because he was dead. Damn. What a way to go. Found dead in Converse shoes, tight jeans, and a leather jacket. This guy was going to be great, so I hear. A Google search showed that he got his start by doing one-man renditions of Waiting for Godot in his public park. Community theater started wanting him for every role, and he was a rocket ship of success. He even won awards for his off-Broadway portrayal of legendary skater Tony Hawk in Tony Hawk the Musical. This Grease revival is going to be his big break. Broadway VIPs that have watched rehearsals, they say he is a shoo-in for a Tony Award for his portrayal of Danny Zuko. Damn. And here he is. Dead. Like real dead. Deader than dead. Deceased. Passed on. The theater manager slash owner was sitting in the front row with his head in his hands. I can empathize. I know that look. I still sit that way when I think about those socks. That damn cat. I let him know I was there. I tried to talk, but he was inconsolable for now. I took that as my opportunity to look around. Stepping on stage, the scene was grisly. I mean, I'd seen car accidents before, but this was something else. Car sat with its engine turned off. Keys still hanging from the ignition, shift knobs stuck into first gear. There are tire tracks across the stage from the wings where it looked like the car was kept. One long set from the wing, and then two shorter ones. The front bumper had a small dent in it slightly to the left of the body. Good lord. Poor bastard got hit, the driver backed the car up and hit him again. Crushed it. Damn. This is gnarly. Ben is definitely dead. Have I said that yet? I mean, no hope. He is super dead. How could this have happened? Who could have gotten access to the theater? I needed answers. So I decided it was time to talk. I mean, I've been talking. Pretty much this whole episode. But it was time for the manager slash owner to talk. This blubbering idiot was head in his hands sobbing on the front row. I can't blame him. Life is hard. But he called me. So we have to get this moving. I lit up a clove and I got in his face. Here we go. How do I get this recording to work on the podcast? Now, here we go.
Timothy? Timothy Capdahl? Hey, buddy, you doing okay? You're a little weepy there.
Who are you?
Jack. Jack Handjob. You called me?
Oh, right, of course. The private investigator. You came highly recommended.
Oh, yeah? By whom?
It doesn't matter. Can you solve this?
Solve what?
The murder!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's totally in the realm of possibility.
So why are you talking to me? Get to it!
Right, where do I start?
I don't know, Super Sleuth. Maybe the possible suspects? People who knew Ben best?
Listen, Timmy boy, I just walked in here. There's a dead guy on your stage. Like, very obviously dead. That's where I'm at. So if you have some ideas, I'd love to hear them. All right? Let's try this. Start at the beginning. How did you find this?
My security app alerted me to a fire a few hours ago. I took a 45-minute Uber 3 blocks to open the front door to find a theater full of exhaust. That damn car. I told him he shouldn't use a real car for the grease lightning number. I vented the windows, I turned up the air, and I blew out the smoke and came to find him, Ben, dead. How could this happen?
I mean, well, obviously he was hit by a car.
Yeah, obviously!
Okay, I'm just saying. Go on.
I don't know who would have been in here. Only a few other people have had access to the theater after hours. The principals have a key for extra rehearsals. I guess that's why Ben was in here. The director, of course. My business associate across the street. We co-own both theaters, you see.
Huh. You co-own them?
Yes. Eustace Early, Texas oil baron, Broadway aficionado, my God. That son of a bitch. Yes, we co-own it.
Oh, sounds like you two don't get along. Like maybe you don't get along enough for him to want to commit murder?
Oh, God. You don't think... No. No way. We have our quarrels, our highs and lows, but nothing like that.
We'll see. Well, I'm sure you have a contact list, a Rolodex, cocktail napkins with names, maybe airdrop me something.
Yes. Yes, of course. Here.
He sent me the list. These people, actors, directors, theater owners. Oh my God, I don't want to talk to these people. The high spirits of Broadway are already wearing me down.
Thank you.
Please, sir. We were set to open in a week and I don't want the police involved. Solve this quickly. My reputation is riding on it.
I'll do my best. Now you go get yourself cleaned up. I'll let you know as soon as I have anything.
The supporting male actor playing Knicky, Sandy the lead female, the director of the show, and this Eustace guy, a rival theater owner, but an oil baron? This is a motley crew if I ever saw one. Man, I had my work cut out for me. Nothing a blue motorcycle can't fix, though. Time to saddle up. 9 rides later, I was throwing up in the alley again. I should really talk to somebody about this. Well, jealousy, rivalry, actors, murder. They all go together. Let's start with the obvious one first, the supporting male. I can imagine these actor types can really hold a grudge. The owner's list has him named Richard Hugger. I guess it's as good a place as any to start asking some questions. Time to get to work.
Will Jack Canjob succeed? What will Richard Hugger be like? Will Jack ever get a new pair of favorite socks? Find out next week on The Arts of Murder.
The Arts of Murder is presented by the Helium Podcast Network. It is written, directed, and edited by Brent Blakeney. Scoop Johnson is played by Jeff Campbell. Take it away, Scoop.
Jack Handjob is played by Brent Blakeney. Timothy Kaptol was played by special guest Mark Brady. Mark is a member of the hit YouTube channel Hummies VR Comedy. Be sure to check out all the great podcasts on the Helium Podcast Network.